Baseball on the South Side. It's opening day. Welcome to the Carmen and Yurko live broadcast, taking you up to pregame. Brought to you by the Points Bet Sportsbook at Club Hawthorne in Crestwood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Yeah, extended Carmen and Yurko today. Connor's pregame, that's going to be an extended pregame as well. It's up in about an hour when we're done, and then that'll roll into Len and DJ with the call of the opener. And they do think there's a window. Maybe it starts just after 3, but they think they're going to be able to get this one in.
It's getting nice here, Carmen.
It's not so bad here right now. I'm headed to the park when we're done. I got the Masters streaming right now, too. And I tell you, every time you look at that course, and it's just so immaculate and so beautiful. I've got to stop putting that trip off. I've never been down there, and I just got to do it. And this time every year when you start looking at those beautiful pictures on HDTV, and you're just like, my God, it looks gorgeous and immaculate, and I want to get down there to see it. So Matsuyama and Simpson and Leishman all tied atop the leaderboard at 400. Jesse's here with us live as we broadcast in Crestwood from the Points Bet Sportsbook at Club Hawthorne OTB. He is going to the ballpark a little bit later on. If you got a question about the Cubs or the Sox for Jesse, 312-332-3776. What up, Jess?
Back-to-back week, seeing you guys out and about. I love it.
Feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, excited for the opener. I'm watching the Cubs here. 4 hits in the second inning for them.
Four
hits.
It might happen.
I mean, one inning. Come on.
Second inning.
So they've out-hit what they had yesterday, the entire game.
2 days in a row. Combined. They had 4 hits the last 2 days.
Jeez. Oh, my God.
Chris Bryant went deep. So that's a good sign.
Oh, nice.
I think we all talked about him. If he's healthy, I want to see him healthy and play 155 games or something. And now we're seeing the real Chris Bryant.
But he's healthy, so.
He is healthy. Nagging injuries obviously have held him back. Anyway, they have 4 hits through 2 innings, so they're
how about that?
You know,
as many as they've had in
headlines
in the last two games in the last 19 innings.
Yeah. Stop the presses! Exactly. Stop the presses!
Yurko's hoping for one of those 10 hit games at some.
Well,
point.
It might happen today against the Pirates, and they usually follow up one or two bad ones with a good one.
This could
be the day.
Right.
That offense.
And Arrieta's pitching today.
Yeah.
Yes,
yep.
He
got a double play in the first inning.
Jake,
so off to a good
my
start.
My guy Jake Arrieta.
Jake
pitching?
The Snake. Your guy.
My
15,
guy. Jake.
15 wins this year, and he ties the productivity of Yu Darvish had in 3 years.
Here he goes.
We'll see if
just
he can get to 15.
That's all. Hey, that's, 15 wins is pretty darn good year for any pitcher.
In this day and age, absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure he can get there.
32-33 starts. I'm glad you have so much faith in your guy, but I do. I would have been making that
wager. It's not
wager.
So much him.
It would have been plus 800.
Without the DH, you get pinch hit for it. It's hard to last the 5-6
inning.
You know.
It is. It's hard.
Especially with that Cubs offense.
Well, yes.
They have to have a lead when he leaves
hopefully,
the game.
Yeah, hopefully David Ross won't be overmanaging everything.
Right.
Jess, so you're going to the home opener. You said you were listening in on the La Russa Zoom, too. I mean, you know what he said yesterday, and I know you appreciated the way he handled that yesterday.
Yeah,
He was pretty forthcoming about the whole thing.
Yeah, if you want to dive into that. First of all, as a reporter, absolutely love it. I mean, you can count on one hand how many times a manager is that adamant and about taking the blame.
Like, I blew it.
Yeah. That does not happen. Jim Riggleman was probably the last guy that did it on a consistent basis in Chicago as Cubs manager. You just don't see it. I love Joe Maddon. He didn't do it very often.
Mm-mm.
He did it after Game 6 when he left Aroldis Chapman in there too long. Never said anything about Game 7, though.
Yeah.
And you could go through all the Cubs and Sox managers. I mean, Pinella yelled at me because I asked him if he made a mistake one time. So
that sounds about right.
But here's the funny part. Here's the funny part to me. I don't think La Russa needed to do that. I don't think he made a big mistake. And this is where you and I will disagree.
Yes.
I went back and watched that inning this morning. I watched the Zoom again with him afterwards just to get it right. You have. We're not going to go batter through batter, but Matt Foster came in with nobody out, okay?
Yes.
He got a strikeout. He got a sacrifice fly. In between, there were a couple hits, no doubt. It's tied 4-4. He's got two outs. It's first and third. He goes 0-2 on Ty France. And Stoney had a great line. France,
he said.
What did he say? France didn't lose after the middle age. Never won.
France never won after the
middle ages.
After the Renaissance.
That's great. But anyway, he's 0-2 on Ty France. It's first and third, 4-4, two outs. Okay, they've tied it, but he's gotten two outs.
Did you waste the pitch?
The inning's about over. But all of a sudden, Ty France.
That at bat was something.
Turns into, Barry Bonds.
That at bat was amazing.
It was amazing. Now, maybe Foster's starting to tire, but what is La Russa supposed to do? It's 0-2, two outs. in the middle of that long at bat, get someone up to get him in the next dip? How's he supposed to know it's going to go 10, 11 pitches? So he draws the walk, and at that point, you're sort of pot committed with Foster. At that point, you get someone up. Now, I agree.
I think he waited too long.
After Ty France, you get someone up. Here's my point, though. At that point, you know Foster's spent.
And Kyle Seager is not his brother. I get it. But not even somebody warming up to maybe have to pitch to Kyle Seager? I mean, you know,
It's first and third, two outs, 0-2 count. I don't know. I mean, yeah, you could. You could have someone ready.
It was first and third, two outs after the Haniger sack fly.
It's not like it was hit, 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 and then Ty France comes up. It's sack fly. You figure.
But the Seager hit is the one that kills you because that cleared the bases.
Right. And then he still left him in, right?
Or did he get him at that point? I think he did then. The Seager one really
hurt.
But anyway, that was the game.
What?
It wasn't actually a terrible pitch to Seager.
Well,
Seager looked like he was a little late on it, was just able to do enough to get it down
right,
the line.
Right, but you could tell Foster. By the time Ty France came, you know, was battling him, he had lost some zip. But we see this often. It could be the first batter of the game. You go 11 pitches, advantage to that next batter.
Absolutely.
And at that point, Foster had already pitched a long inning, so he was spent when Seager came up. But I'm not sure Lewis could have done much.
I think his biggest mistake and what he regrets most is not having somebody ready to face Seager with the bases loaded, because that's the one that really killed you, because that's the one that cleared the base.
For sure. He's not going to have someone ready for Ty France. It's first and third. It's two outs. Ty France. But you're right. But you also don't know that at bat's going to really.
You don't know it's going to be 11 pitches.
Right, and just destroy Foster at that point.
Now, you know it's not Tony La Russa's fault?
Yeah.
First and second in the second inning with nobody out and Luis Robert getting picked off by the catcher.
Right.
It's not Tony La Russa's fault? Bases loaded in the seventh. After the debacle, you load the bases with nobody out, and you score zero runs because Jose Abreu gets doubled off second base.
No, that ain't Tony La Russa's fault. No infield fly rule? Was it so deep that you couldn't make the call?
To me, I thought they probably could have called infield fly. They did not.
But the bigger picture, what you're talking about here, the team has made too many mistakes through the first seven games.
And I think they tell you that.
And this should be Tony La Russa's specialty. He's been a manager of a team that's favored to win a lot of games and go to the playoffs. You've got to get them to relax. You know, I cover more than the Cubs and Sox. I was on the San Diego flagship this morning. The Padres have made the most errors in the National League.
They have.
The White Sox the most in the AL. I don't know if that's a coincidence. Both teams, young, up-and-coming, picked by a lot of people, maybe they're pressing a little too much, whether it be on the base pass or in the field. Now it's Tony's job to make sure this doesn't continue week after week after week,
these poor
fundamentals.
And you think he's well-equipped to do that.
Absolutely.
Because like what you said, Jess, by the way, before he got hurt, you know how many errors Fernando Tatis Jr. had? Five.
There you go.
I mean, how do you do that
Talk
in less than a
pressing.
Week of baseball?
It's called pressing.
Five.
So let's look at that road trip. They go 3-4. Okay, I'm gonna sort of look at the glass being half full. The errors are not going to continue on the south side. I agree with Rick and Tony on that. I don't think the bullpen, they've lost all four games.
All four.
I don't think that's going to continue.
That's crazy.
I don't think that's going to continue.
Aaron Bummer wanted to go 90-0, remember? Like, that's crazy
but
when
the
they
one,
had a lead.
But the one thing I do have a problem with, as you know, 0-3, 0-4, when a righty starts against them, 3-0 when a lefty, which continues a trend from last year.
All right.
And I was ultimately overly maybe critical of them in the offseason when they didn't pick up better left-handed bats.
All right, let's dive into this. First of all, in fairness, their power numbers against righties last year were still pretty good. Their isolated power, their on-base their slugging percentage certainly, probably their OPS, their isolated power, they were still in the top third in all of baseball. Their average was lower. Not having Aloy, I think, hurts. Believe it or not, Aloy actually hits better against right-handers than he does against left-handers. So
and Abreu certainly hits better against righties.
Yes, yes.
So
that without Aloy, that's probably going to hurt them a little. But when we talk about right-handed and left-handed starters, like, I love the trend. I think it's fun. And I'll bet it
until
it's over.
If you're betting it's fun.
Of course.
And if you faced more lefties than righties over the course of the season, it'd be great.
It'd be fun.
But it's the opposite.
They're also, you know, most starting pitchers are out of the game by the fifth inning or sixth inning these days anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but most of the time, most teams have more righty relievers,
they have more righties. They have more right-handed pitching. There's no doubt about it.
Not most of the time, all the time.
But the stat is against right-handed starters. I mean, but you're right. Against right-handed pitching, are they going to have more of a problem? And
the answer is yes. Are they equipped? Carmen, the answer is yes. Now, it doesn't mean they can't overcome it. But
I think they will.
Look at those four games they lost. It was a grind to get to three or four runs. The Angels had to throw the ball around. It was a drop third strike. Each one of those four games, it was a grind just to get to four. It's so much easier for them when a lefty's on the mound. And my point about being critical, I like Adam Eaton, but he's not Schwarber or Peterson when it comes to danger. Let's use Barry Bonds as the ultimate extreme example.
Yeah, he's dangerous.
It wasn't just Bonds and what he would do at the plate. It was just the danger factor. It would affect the next batter. It would affect the batter before him. They don't have that slugger that just scares you. Now, Moncada might turn into that guy, but
right,
I'm talking 40 home run potential.
You got to hope it is Moncada.
Right. He's the only guy because Grandel's not going to play every day. He's a switch guy. You know, Moncada's switch too, but Grandel you don't think of as the classic power hitter.
No.
Eaton's not a classic power hitting. That's why Zach Collins might have to play more.
That's who it's got to
be. He might have to play more.
Zach Collins.
Right. He might have to play more. So I'm worried. I mean, it can't be a coincidence that the trend picks up where it left off,
Carmen.
It can't be.
When you didn't get Peterson, and they tried, we know, right? They offered him $10 million, but they weren't guaranteeing him probably the opportunity to play every day. He wants to play even against lefties. He decided not to take the Sox offer. When they didn't get Peterson, Schwarber probably didn't make as much sense because they were looking for a right fielder. Nobody knows Aloy's going to get hurt.
Right, right.
And so then they turned to Adam Eaton, and I think in their minds they figured this is the year that Zach's got to fire or will fire. That's what it's going to have to be. It's going to have to be Moncada and Zach Collins probably.
Right. And Grandel, when you know, as much as he can.
As much
is
as he
it
can.
Enough? 0-4 already. After going 21-25.
You're worried about that. And maybe in July, I am going to have to bring Jesse on and say, damn, Jess, you were right.
You're right.
I'm not as worried about that as you are.
I doubt you'll have
well,
to say,
Jess. Well, I'm worried about it because I've been worried about it since December.
Yeah.
Now, go back to half glass being half full. They cross off a West Coast road trip. It's always goofy out there. You start the season out there. You've been in spring training for 6 weeks. Now you're another week out there. 3-4, okay, you live with it. Now you got to start making hay. And I told you last week, watch out for those Royals.
Just
as a spoiler.
Their pitching's not very good. It's just not.
It's young.
They slapped the ball around, though.
You know, but they did.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean.
They did the first few games.
They did. Yeah, I mean, look, Soler, we know that Soler can hit. Benintendi's there now. If, like, he turns back into – he had a bad year last year, but that you could just chalk it up to COVID, I suppose. He had a really bad year last year. But, like, if Benintendi's what they hope and expect and with Soler in that lineup and Witt is still
just
obviously
spoiler.
A great hitter.
I'm
like,
just saying spoiler.
They could spoil a
like,
little.
You're not going to necessarily
they're
go –
they're going to fade.
You're not going to go 17-2 against the Royals. You know, like,
no.
You might on some cellar dweller.
It's
you know,
going to be the Sox
them.
And the Twins. That I'm still pretty confident in.
Yeah.
I think whatever little magic that maybe you see out of a young, hungry team like the Tigers and the Royals now
Cleveland's
will
done.
Fade because they're not good
you're
enough.
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
They're not good enough for 162.
They're not.
They're
and
not.
I think the Sox and the
Cleveland's,
Twins are.
No.
Yeah. And Cleveland's not going to be very good.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I like I said, I think the errors are going to clean up. We know the bullpen's good. Kopech's been great already.
Great.
So Foster had a hiccup, but it was a little weird. You know, an infield hit, then a bloop, and then there was a big hit, or, you know, hard hit ball to right. So
it was rough yesterday.
That's where the offense has to make up for it. And,
yeah, and
again,
you had 10 walks, and you only pushed three runs across.
Right.
Think about that. I think it was the most walks they've had in the game in like 4 years. You had 8 walks against the starter in less than 5 innings, and you could only push 3 runs across. You'd expect that number to be higher, but you only had 1 hit off of
Dunn. But back to our original point, I was stunned by La Russa yesterday. I mean, he has taken the most humble attitude
coming in.
He really has, and to admit, you know, it was kind of a mistake to me. Not really, as I described. This guy had an 11-pitch at-bat when he was down 0-2. What are you supposed to do? But, man, that was refreshing. It's so refreshing because it never happens. No one ever just says it straight out, I made a mistake. They just don't.
La Russa's attitude has been refreshing since day one. I cannot disagree with that. And I was as flabbergasted as anybody.
Right, me included.
When the reports first started, I thought, no, this isn't real. This is Jerry's just doing him a favor.
Nightingale's like, having a couple pops out west. This can't be right.
There's no way. They're not hiring Tony La Russa.
Right.
And then a couple weeks went by and there was still – no, they're serious about turning.
Right.
And I'm thinking, there's no way. He's old. He doesn't want. They can't have him manage.
I remember. He's like, no way in the world.
There's no way.
I talked to a couple executives on other teams, and I asked them, do you think this is serious? And they said, nah.
There's no way.
Conn and Williams are doing Jerry a favor by talking to him. There's no way. These are high-level executives on other teams saying the same thing. No way, no way.
And so I was blown away as anybody. And I never thought it was a particularly good idea, but I will say Tony's attitude has I don't know if like won me over is the right way to put it, but it has been totally refreshing.
It has. A humble attitude for the third winningest manager of all time.
And Lucas Giolito, and we played it in our show the other day because it was part of Sunday Night Baseball. When Lucas Giolito said, answering a question about Tony, he said, it was real easy for a lot of us to think he was going to come in and tell us, look at all I've won, and this is the way we're going to do it, and I'm Tony La Russa. And he said it was the 180 opposite.
Really
that,
was.
And he hasn't done that at all. And it was refreshing to hear him get over there yesterday, get on that Zoom call yesterday and say, okay, I'll wear this one because I effed up.
Ironically, though, if that's the right word, he probably should press his foot down on them a little bit. Hey, I've been here before. You guys stop reading your press clippings and play some defense.
Play
you know
some
what I'm
baseball.
Saying? Like maybe he does need to push on him because I truly think the one thing I thought they were a little too ahead of themselves in March and February. They were a little bit like, you remember I said this to you guys, like, next month is April, not October. Let's not World Series and bust. I know it's spring, everyone's excited, but you got to take it really one day at a time. And I know Tim Anderson is gregarious and all this stuff. You just got to be careful. It's a long, long year.
I like the confidence and the cockiness and the swag a little bit, but
there's always that line.
You're 3-4 now, so let's see it manifest itself into some winning baseball.
Yeah,
get
the nose back to the grindstone and start doing the basics.
And remember, last year, the taste this team had for the playoffs came after 60 games.
Exactly.
So it's like right away.
Right, yeah.
Where now you got to get into that grind and remember it's every day.
Cubs or Sox questions for Jesse. We could take a few when we come back. Jesse will spend one more segment with us. 312-332-3776. That's the number. We're live in Crestwood at the PointsBet Sportsbook and the Club Hawthorne OTB. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Carmen DeFalco, a big fan. Johnny Yurko Yurkovich. A big man. Two men in search of some meaningful baseball action. This is the opening day Carmen and Yurko live broadcast for the PointsBet Sportsbook at Club Hawthorne in Crestwood.
Listen on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Jesse Rogers hanging with us talking baseball. On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app, it's Carmen and Yurko. Jesse is fueled by the Pride Stores. Not your typical convenience store. Oh, no, it's not. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. There's a BP Pride Store about a mile and a half from my house, and I'm telling you, I love that place. It's like my one-stop shop. They got
everything
you can buy. It's a convenience store at a gas station. It's beautiful.
Right?
You get fresh coffee, donuts, wine, beer. Snacks. Nice. I get my bait there before we go fish.
Probably make a bet there someday.
You buy Lotto. I mean, they've got everything there. They are the greatest convenience stores. I'm telling you, there's 15 throughout the Chicagoland area, and there's one by me that I am at constantly in Hinsdale. It is absolutely
hit number five for the Cubs. Chris Bryant has a homer and a double in the third inning.
Come on,
KB is back. KB is back
on his way to a cycle.
So Bryant might be back. What about the rest of them, though? Yeah. I mean, that's
one thing at a time.
Javi's had a tough start.
Wouldn't it be funny if they re-signed Bryant, let Rizzo and Baez go, when the whole time we thought it was going to be the other way around?
What if?
You never know. One of them's got to come back. You got to have somebody.
Well, one of them's going to be back.
Yeah, not yet, though.
Don't you think it's going to be Rizzo?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do, but it just hasn't happened yet, which is surprising. So,
do you think it'll happen during the year, Jess, or will it be at the end of the year?
Yes. No, I think if Rizzo's back, it'll be during the year.
Okay.
I think if Baez is back, it'll be during the year as well, but not positive. More positive about Rizzo.
I know Rizzo told Cap and Hoodie earlier this week, too. He's like, no, I told my agents, I don't want to hear it anymore. What's the point? It's baseball. But Yurko and I were saying, he's told his agents, okay, I'm going to focus on baseball. They're offering us $70 million. That's ridiculous. Call me when it's for real.
Yeah,
and if the Cubs come back and say, we've got $95 million, then they'll say, okay, Anthony, they're offering you $95 million. Right? I mean, that's the way it's going to go.
Right. Of course. It's just no daily conversations. Yes. If there's something that changes in a big way, I'll take the call. People forget, in 2013, he signed an extension in May. May.
Good example.
So
perfect.
Things can change. He's just talking about the daily back and forth he doesn't want to be involved in. I don't think much is changing now. I think, and I've reported this before for Baez and even Rizzo now, their numbers now are going to affect things. If they have big months of April and May, they're more likely to sign and get a raise from Ricketts. It's sad. It's sad for the player that it comes down to 30, 50, 60 games.
Yep.
But in some ways, I think it is, especially with Bias.
So you're heading to Guaranteed Rate. It's the home opener today on the South Side. What is covering these games like when you guys have no access to the players anymore?
It's only on Zoom. Yeah,
you know?
It's getting old. Yeah.
Do you think it'll ever go back, Jess?
What's going to happen this year is the most we're going to get this year is you can go on the field for batting practice and talk to a player there. We're not going in the clubhouse this year.
No?
No. Hopefully that comes back eventually.
Do you think it will?
If it's up there.
Is this the perfect excuse for them to never allow
right.
the media back in?
The answer is yes, it is. I don't think it's going to happen. Okay. I think we're going to get back in there. This year, hopefully, on the field for BP, and you run into a player coming on and off, and you talk to him. Right now, everything's on Zoom. I think Rossi's getting a little annoyed with the Zoom. I think
really?
He's been short lately.
He's having enough.
I don't know.
Would he rather do it in face-to-face?
You know the Chicago reporters. Wouldn't you get annoyed after?
Well, probably, but he's got to talk to him one way or another. You think he'd like the Zoom because at least it's a little bit more controlled?
No, I think that when you're a first-year, second-year manager, remember, he has yet to have a normal relationship with the media
as a manager.
I think you want that back and forth. I mean, nobody was better than Joe Maddon at that back and forth in the dugout. And Ross is doing this from his office with 30 people looking at him on it. It's you don't get that sort of relationship that I think even a manager wants. Certainly the reporters want it. So I was just telling our boss, Mike Thomas, it is weird. I mean, I'm doing a Zoom with Ross at home while he's in Pittsburgh. And after the game, I'll be watching him from Guaranteed Rate while the Sox are playing.
It is wild.
And then,
it?
You know, I was standing here while you're doing the show listening to LaRusso on his Zoom. And by the way, Billy Hamilton on the injured reserve list.
So now they got another guy with another a hammy guy on the injured list.
So Eloy, Tim Anderson, Billy Hamilton within the first 2 weeks. And Angle. So they've had some bad luck. So it is very strange to cover this sport on the Zoom the way it is. I went to Texas. We talked about that the other day. I went 38,000 there. That was strange as well.
That's weird, too.
Everything's strange
these days. Right now, really.
So,
did La Russa say anything else interesting pregame today?
Well, he reiterated wanting to take the heat for yesterday. And I'm going to screw up the wording of this, so I'm paraphrasing. And he said it in a way that was very interesting. I'd rather admit the mistake than try to hide from it.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'd rather not spin it. I'd rather just admit it.
Right.
Even though, as I said earlier, I don't think it was a big mistake. He's excited to get back at it. You know, he said it's going to be uncomfortable managing against Mike Matheny. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah,
Matheny
that's true.
Fouled him in St. Louis.
Yep.
He caught for him, you know, they're very close. He said it's very uncomfortable. And he said it is strange to be back on the South Side, especially with all the same people in a lot of ways. You know, starting with ownership, obviously. Not all the same people, but a lot of the same ownership people. Yeah. So he says very strange. It's like I left the family for 30 years.
30 years.
And then I've been invited back.
Yeah. More than that, even. I mean, you know, it's like it's crazy. Think about how long, 35 years, right, since he left.
Yeah, since he said hasta la bye-bye.
Wasn't it 86?
86 sounds right.
Doesn't that sound right? That's 35 years ago, guys.
Hawk just went crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're fired. And then Jerry said, you're fired.
Fired everybody. Exactly.
So it'll be interesting to see him back there. Too bad it's not a full house, you know. But he'll get a nice ovation, I'm sure. And he reiterated what Hans said this morning. Look, I'm not worried about the defense. I know we have a good bullpen. We just have to be better against righties. No, he didn't say that.
He didn't say that.
How great would that be? I threw that
in there. How great would that be?
But,
all right, so what do you think happens today? Do the Sox, are they aggravated? Are they a little pissed off? Are they fired up? And do they win big? They're facing a pitcher that got his brains beaten in his first start. Or they win 3-4. It's the home opener. They came back from a West Coast trip. Are they like a little sluggish? What happens?
Yeah, those are good questions and points because I'm a guy like you, schedule guy.
You come back from
the West Coast. It's a day game after long day yesterday. Disappointed. Like, what's their mindset? Are they going to go, or are they going to have a little letdown?
A little letdown.
Remember, the reason guys have letdowns after long road trips is because they get back to their family. Their kids are pulling on them.
Right.
The time zone change. All that stuff happens. Yeah. Now you got to play a game.
Conjugal visit.
You said it.
Gotcha.
And what's the other team doing? The other team's waiting in their hotel room for you.
Exactly. Right.
So I don't know. I would hope after the 3-4 trip, a little unhappy. You know, Keiko was pretty direct. One of the leaders yesterday on the Zoom. Hey, this wasn't good.
I like Keiko. He did that last year, too. Kind of like Tony saying, put this one on me. Like, I like Keuchel's attitude.
Absolutely. You need it last year. Every team needs a guy or two like that.
Like, hey, you know, when they were slumping, wasn't Keuchel at some point last year kind of came out and said, enough of the talk and, you know, thinking we're this or that. It's time to go. It's time to show everybody.
And I bet if somehow this slump lasts a whole month, you'll hear from him more.
Because he's got the skins on the wall to be able to say it. That rubs some people the wrong way. Oh, he's a cheater. He was in Houston. Stop. And he was a pitcher, for crying out loud. Oh, he knew what was going on, and he didn't stop it. What's he supposed to do?
That
he's
going
to rat on his team?
That also has something to do with knowing how to win.
Of course not. You know, it doesn't.
Or being a leader.
Or being competing and being professional. He was a pitcher on that team, for crying out loud. So, like, to me, Keuchel does have skins on the wall.
Absolutely
he can
does.
Go and say it.
No, he's a good leader. He's the right guy. Now, he's got to pitch a little bit better. I didn't love his spring. Like, only three starts.
I know.
It was a little incomplete, it felt like. If there was a guy I thought was going to need some time as a starter, it was him. Now, I love the Lance Lynn addition. You know, I was being critical a little bit earlier about the left-handed bats. I love Lance Lynn. I think he's a workhorse. I remember when he faced the Cubs in the playoffs and they stacked them with lefties and he looked terrible, but that's a different pitcher. Lance Lynn's a different pitcher than he was a few years ago. So I like their chances today. I would think if they went 6-1, maybe the letdown would happen on the road, but they went 3-4 and didn't look good.
Right. So probably a little
fired up. They have to be on point.
Thanks, Jess.
Good
see you over there later, all right, buddy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jesse Rogers.
You have a suite for me to
You got a hole? I got a whole suite.
Did.
Don't worry about it. I'll text you the number, okay? I'll text you which suite number. It's out in the parking lot. That's Jesse Rogers.
On Addison Avenue. There's Addison Street.
He's headed over to the ballpark. Jim Miller will rejoin us when we come back next.
Welcome to the Carmen and Yurko Opening Day Live Broadcast. We are live from the PointsBet Sportsbook at Club Hawthorne in Crestwood.
Listen on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, Jim Miller got gypped before when we were talking to him, our great friend from Hawthorne, on our expert handicapper. That's when we had some technical difficulty there during the 11 o'clock hour. Luckily, we got that sorted out. Jimmy's back. I also need an update from Merck here. Merck's following along with the golf. We're all trying to follow along. The Masters are well underway. Masters.com to watch some of the action before it comes on TV. And Merck, maybe you can just real quick give us a leaderboard, but tell me how many birdies does Bryson have? Because he teed off about an hour ago, and I'm on the points bet odds boost here where I've got the Sox scoring more runs today in the opener than Bryson birdies. $50 bet to win 100. So how many birdies so far for Bryson? Tell me zero.
Zero through three. So you didn't birdie two.
All right. Yes. Zero through three.
Did not birdie two.
No birdie, no birdie, no birdie, no birdie, no birdie, no birdie for Bryson.
Well, I mean, listen,
if you score
10 runs, DeChambeau's not going to have 10 birdies today.
That's a lot of runs.
The White Sox have the ability to score 10 runs.
They do?
Yes.
Okay. Boy,
Yurk,
I like it.
Yeah.
I like the attitude.
Well, I mean, listen, I understand baseball.
Yes, you
do. The course looks like it's playing tough, too, down at Augusta.
Does it? Well,
a lot of guys over par already.
We've got, I think the low score right now is 4 under. I'm trying to get an updated board here. It looks like there's a three-way tie at 4 under with Matsuyama, Simpson,
and
Leishman.
Mark Leishman.
But,
Harmon's in the house with a 69. Brian Harmon, he's in the house with a 69
But Jimmy's not wrong. I mean, it looks like there are 40-some golfers over par, you know, over par. So, yeah, absolutely. Looks
Bryson just missed the green on 4, so you're safe. You're safe for another
attaboy.
Hole.
Attaboy.
No birdies.
Keep missing those greens, Bryson.
That's the par 3. That's a tough little long par 3.
Yep.
Sand in the front. Depends where the pin position is. It's some of those pins tough to access.
So 3 weeks from Saturday is the Kentucky Derby. When Jimmy was with us before, and we did get a little interrupted, but you were talking about the horses that are in this field, and how you think it's going to be a little bit more wide open. The last of the prep races is Saturday. That's the Arkansas Derby. Is that another one of those 100 pointers,
yes,
Jimmy?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's weird because it's a $1 million race, guys. This used to be the last race that everybody jumped in to try to get points to get into the Derby.
Right.
And you'd have a full field. This year's really odd. You got a 6-horse field, Concert Tour from the barn of trainer Bob Baffert, who's really good. And Concert Tour is lightly raced, 3 starts, but wins every start going away. If that horse wins by daylight again, will be one of the favorites with essential quality.
Concert Tour.
But the horse is going to be 3 to 5, 2 to 5 in a 6-horse field.
It's only a 6-horse field?
Five of these horses of the 6 ran in the Rebel. Did any of these horses have an excuse in the Rebel?
No, not really. That's in Caddo River is the one that you kind of look at to wonder, hey, maybe this horse should be okay. Maybe this horse should be a little bit better. But really no excuse. But they're all coming back for the Arkansas Derby, so it's definitely not the racing surface, not the racetrack. You just tend to wonder if you're good enough. But again, if you're trying to get into the Derby, you talk about these points, Carm. It's 100 points to the winner. It's 40 to second. If you run second in this race, you're in the starting gate for the Derby.
Okay.
Because you look down the list of 20, they're down into the 30s for those horses that are like 15 through 20 right now.
So even
run second in the race, you're in the Derby. And that's the thing we just talked about earlier. You just want to get in the gate. Yeah. Then you never know what's going to happen.
So the Derby is 3 weeks from Saturday.
Right.
The book, the OTBs, the Points Bet Sports books, they are open. People can start making reservations, right?
Right.
I mean, would you suggest that? Because
I heard
for the tournament here, we're in Crestwood, that it was crazy. But, you know, you had to turn people away because of the rules right now. So people should be going online to make reservations.
And that's the thing about it, because you still have the capacity restrictions and that you do want to make reservations. Fortunately, we have this outdoor patio that we're at right now.
Right.
It allows you to expand a little bit. But the thing that we do at a lot of our OTBs is we have drive-up wagering. Yeah. We have bet-and-go wagering. We'll set up a tent here right behind. You can drive up, make your wagers on the Derby, and then head on out. But if you want to enjoy the day, make those reservations. And we have different reservations for the OTB and the sportsbook because, like with March Madness, it was really busy then. But you do want to do that. As always, you can come and place your wagers and watch at home. But if you want to enjoy the afternoon, definitely make your reservations and come out and enjoy things.
Now, there's another minor race happening at Keeneland.
The Lexington. Yep.
The Lexington. And you got a horse that has 20 points. 20 points go to the winner.
So now
he gets
40.
To his 40 points.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he's in the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
Is there anything we should be looking at the Lexington?
The Lexington, you more or less want to look at how the racetrack's going to play, because what we saw for Keeneland early on, last week they opened things up for the Bluegrass. You saw Essential Quality, who was very good, go out there with Highly Motivated. These two duked it out on the front end.
Oh, yeah.
But they ran 1-2 the whole way around. So that's the thing. That's a track at Keeneland that every once in a while can get a little bit of speed favoring.
A little bit of bias.
You want to watch that bias. And, Yurk, you've seen that. No matter what happens, if it's a speed favoring racetrack, doesn't matter. Those horses get out there and continue to go. So when you're looking at your past performances for the Lexington this weekend, look and see what's going to happen speed wise. I expect the track to play very, very similarly. This is a meet that's very short at Keeneland, too, so you can't make drastic changes to the racetrack. Kind of what you see opening weekend is what you're going to see the whole way through. So look at what you're going to find for speed, and if you have those horses that have 20 points somewhere around there, even 15 points, that win gets you into the Kentucky Derby.
What's with the short meets at some of these, like, beautiful historic
Saratoga's the same
way. It's like 6 weeks, right? And Keeneland, and I've never even been inside. I've just been outside of Keeneland. Like, it is gorgeous. You know, like, to be honest, you look at Churchill Downs and you're kind of like, eh, really? That, you know, and, but Keeneland is beautiful.
Doesn't Del Mar have a short meet?
Del Mar has a shorter meet. Yeah. Yep. Why? They have a shorter meet at the end of the summer.
Why are these, like, these awesome, beautiful, gorgeous tracks? Why are the meets so
different? Short setup, different facility, a little bit smaller, maybe of a grandstand type of setup. Saratoga is off the beaten path a little bit, so
it is.
There's kind of the grandeur of going out there for the summer. But watch a video. Look online for a video of when the gates would open at Saratoga during a normal meet, because people are literally running when the gates open to get to their spot, because that's just kind of what the appeal is of a place like Saratoga. But you have some of these meets where things are stretched out a little bit more throughout the course of the year, but it is. There's that appeal to Saratoga. The appeal, because Keeneland, you have the spring meet and you have the fall meet. It leads into the sale in the fall for Keeneland as well. But there's that appeal to those racetracks and a lot of history behind those racetracks too.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen that often. You only have a handful of meets. It's Keeneland, Del Mar, Saratoga that kind of are those marquee meets with a little bit shorter season.
The book here, what PointsBet has done, I mean, the walls of TVs, I mean, it's just great. And what's happening at the track at Hawthorne, and I know Jimmy and Mike talk about it a lot during Odds Couple, but what, by the end of the year or so, Jimmy, that was the plan, right? Like, it's going to be spectacular.
Things are going to be rolling, very soon. And when you talk about rolling, not only are we racing horses, you're building a racing setup, you're building a sports book, and you're building a full-blown casino. And it's a decision where I'm very lucky to work for the Carey family, a family that's been invested in racing for over 100 years. And they're invested in everything moving forward and still putting racing at the forefront. But when you talk about this industry here in the state of Illinois, too, especially from horse racing, 15 to 20 years ago, you had 5 northern racetracks. You had Sportsman's, you had Maywood, you had Balmoral, you had Hawthorne, and you had Arlington. Things have really trimmed down quite a bit. Now, we're running both breeds. We're running Thoroughbred and Harness at Hawthorne each and every year in that. But the interest for racing and the survival for racing and moving things forward for racing really has been at the forefront for the Carey family and for Hawthorne and that. So I'm looking forward to what they can do because of the partnership here. You talk about wanting to get those marquee races back. Once gaming opens, so much money goes to purses for the horsemen, too. When you're talking about $40 million in purses to spread out over a meet, it's a lot different than when you're talking about, say, $8 to $10 million a year and what you can do for racing.
Absolutely. Like, whatever happened to the Illinois? Remember the Illinois Derby used to be at Hawthorne? That was one of the preps. Right?
It was.
That's
a Kentucky
War Emblem won that one.
Emblem won it in 2002, and it is. You look at one of those races like the Illinois Derby, and that was a hard thing. We had to come to a decision at Hawthorne where we say, okay, do you put $500,000 into one race, or do you spread that out over the course of 5 days to help those local horsemen that are filling your entry box each and every day? And it was a tough decision to have to make, don't get me wrong. But you look at those races, there's no reason the Illinois Derby can't come back as a million-dollar race. The Hawthorne Gold Cup can't be a million-dollar race. The Hawthorne Derby in the fall was on the turf and always a race that kind of became a prep for one of those Breeders' Cup turf races in the fall. Again, you want to bring those races back, but at the same time, those horsemen that have lived day in and day out that are battling for, say, $90,000 to $100,000 in purses every day, for them to be able to run for, say, $300,000 to $400,000 for purses every day, that's kind of that lifeline for them that they've been hanging on to. And now it's so close. It's exciting to see, which is good. But you're very close to having things really good again here in Illinois.
All right, so tomorrow, odds couple, you'll have a pick for the Arkansas Derby, right?
Yeah, we're going to do Arkansas Derby. We're going to do a pick in the Lexington and then a pick for Hawthorne Saturday card. It's nice to be back racing Saturdays and Sundays at Hawthorne. It was really weird running on the turf course last weekend because it's early in the season. But racing's been good. The support from the horsemen has been great, and it's been a whole lot of fun.
All right, Jimmy. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, buddy.
All right, you got it, boys. Thank you.
Jim Miller from Hawthorne every Friday with Mike and me on Odds Couple 2, and we will absolutely have the podcast up tomorrow. And, of course, you can catch the Encore replay every Saturday, and Jim joins us each and every week. Connor's coming up in just about 15 minutes. He's going to have extended pregame. Connor McKnight's pregame starts at 2. We're extended today, having a good time, getting ready for the Sox opener. We'll be right back.
Live from the Points Bet Sportsbook at Club Hawthorne in Crestwood, this is an ESPN 1000 opening day live broadcast. Carmen and Yurko.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Well, it hasn't rained in a while, so that's good. We need Yurko to start looking at the Doppler.
I think you're going to be all right.
I think we're going to be all right.
Now, if I tell you what direction to look, you're looking out west right there. And you see some angry skies out west?
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I see rain in those clouds. I see some precipitation. But you're hoping that stays out west and it doesn't get to downtown. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And if you've got southwest winds coming, this should take you still west of the ballpark and not be an issue for you. So
should be good to go.
I'm cheering for you guys. I want the game to get in. I want you guys to be able to go out there and have some fun.
And I can give you an update tomorrow then on what it's like with the social distancing rules and everything else. You got to get in your zone once you're in the park and you're kind of there to stay. And so I'll check back tomorrow and let you know what it's like.
The K-Zone.
The K-Zone,
The K-Zone, that's where you're going to be.
They should name all the zones something like that.
You would think they should.
You'd want to be in the K-Zone, I guess, I remember like the...
How about one's the Twilight Zone?
The Twilight Zone is all the zones.
2-3 zone, you know, 1-3-1. Diamond in one zone.
The box in one.
I love it.
Yeah, the Bulls play, speaking of refreshing too, by the way, you know, the Bulls play tonight. We were talking about how refreshing it was for Tony La Russa to say what he said yesterday. It was kind of refreshing to hear Billy Donovan answer honestly about Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White. I don't know if you saw that. You know, he basically said, They're role guys right now. We need them to play a role.
Right.
But he sort of, and this isn't verbatim, and I can probably pull up the actual quote.
One of eight, one of nine.
We're going to lean heavily on them game in and game out. That's probably not the case right now.
Well, right now you got LaVine and Vucevic are your two scorers.
Yes.
Right? And then you get points from everybody else. You get contributions. That's what you get from your other guys. You're not asking somebody else to come in and give you 25.
Here's the quote. I'll read it to you real quick. I just pulled it up here. They're probably not going to be featured guys, just calling it like it is, head coach Billy Donovan said of White and Markkanen after Tuesday's 113-97 win over the Pacers. But they're very important pieces to our team, and we need them to play at a high level. That's kind of refreshing. You know, Billy hey, you see it. You see what's happening in the rotation. You see what's happening in the minutes. I guess I can't BS you guys, and I'm not going to try. Yeah, they're not featured guys right now. We need them to play big for us. But that's kind of what it is. So it is nice to hear those refreshing types of things. And the Bulls have a game tonight against
you know.
The Raptors.
He's letting you know. He's not going to pretend anything's not happening. You know, nothing's happening. You know, where they're going to try to fool you.
Yeah.
And it's saying Markkanen's more important than he actually is, or White's more important than he actually is. Hey, they're here. We need him to contribute. That's it. That's what we need from them.
Yeah.
When called upon, contribute. And then, really, that's all you can do.
And then Markkanen will probably be on his way at the end of the season in a different place.
If you had to guess, yes.
Yeah, they tried to get him an extension before the deadline back in December. It didn't happen. And I would think with everything that's happened from then until now, he's probably on his way.
I'm sure his agents also tell him, listen, it might be greener pastures elsewhere.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. And that's fine. Sometimes you have to have that.
So I'm trying to think between covering opening days as a reporter and being fortunate enough to go as a fan. I mean, I've probably been to maybe about a dozen or so, give or take.
Opening days?
Yeah, we've had, I mean, I can remember days when it's snowed, days when it's been freezing, days when it's been beautiful. This one looks like it's going to be okay as long as the rain stays away. It's not so cold, you know.
Once the rain left, it actually warmed up.
Yeah, it feels better.
Yeah.
We were shivering before. But
I'm looking, you know, I'm looking out to the southwest, kid.
I'll keep an eye on it as I drive down.
Skies out there, my friend. It's going to be tough for you to keep an eye on it because once you get on the highway and you get on 55 going downtown, you're not going to be able to look southwest because it's going to be behind
you. I'm going to look in my rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, as we say goodbye, I'll tell you one quick thing. You know,
what do you got for
me? A nice thing happened yesterday, Yerk.
Oh.
But looking in the rearview mirror made me think of this. I'll tell it quick. I stopped at Costco yesterday.
Okay.
Right? I'm loading up, right?
You know, you love Costco.
When you get the paper towels, you got to put it on the bottom of the cart, right?
Right.
That's a big thing of paper towels.
Of course you do. Absolutely you do.
Well, okay. I got it on the bottom of the cart. I get out to my car. I unload my car in my trunk. All of a sudden, I back out. I'm pulling away, and I look at my rear. I kind of hear somebody shouting. I look at my rear view, and I see the guy going like this, waving me down. I'm thinking, geez, did I pull out and not see him? Did I almost hit him? Or
was I
not paying it? What did I do? Hey! And I'm thinking, geez, what did I do? Big guy too.
Yeah.
So I stop, I open the door, and I looked at him. He goes, I think you forgot your paper towels. And I go, damn, I did. And so I got out of my car. I said, oh man, I said, thank you so much. He goes, hey, no problem. I didn't want you to get home and realize you forgot your paper towels on your cart,
right?
Because he had parked right next to the cart return,
right?
And he saw me,
right?
Guy's got his wife, two little kids. He could have said, this idiot forgot his paper towels. Forget him.
Taking your paper towels, put it in the bag.
He could have taken them. Instead, he's chasing me down the parking lot.
You remember a year ago today, you couldn't find paper towels.
Well, I know. Like, what a nice guy. I said, I even told him, I said, that was really nice of you.
Did you slip him a 20 or something?
I didn't.
Did you dupe him a little something?
I did. I just said, that was really nice of you.
Did you give him any advice? Did you tell him on a horse to bet?
Or did you
tell him about the lefties?
I didn't.
Hey, next time you get a chance, bet the White Sox when they face a lefty?
I didn't.
You just said thank you? Didn't give him anything?
I was effusive in my praise and my thank yous for him. I said, that was a nice gesture by you to do that. He said, hey, no problem. You know, I said, I feel silly, but I left the paper towels right in the
car. You know, Carm, how about, a little something for the effort next time?
What am I supposed to do? Give him $20? I mean,
no, you should have ripped open the packaging and given him one of the paper towels, one of the rolls.
Give him a sheet.
Take one of my paper towels.
Give him one sheet of paper towels.
Thanks. Here you go.
Carm, just pay it forward to someone else. If you see someone else that left something behind.
That's the thing, Merck. Pay it forward. Absolutely. So thanks to everybody that came out today. We had a great time. A little bit of a technical snafu, but we made it through. Mike Thomas, great work again.
We persevered.
Yes, we did.
Found a way to get it done.
Thanks to Travis and Rachel and Jess and everybody in marketing promotions that came out. We really did have a blast today. And thanks to Brooks Boyer, Jim Miller, Teddy Greenstein, and Jesse Rogers for joining us. Everybody have a great day. We'll wrap the week tomorrow. Let's hope we stay dry on the south side. We'll have a full report, and hopefully we're talking about a White Sox winner. Connor McKnight is coming up next. He has your extended pregame show. Len and DJ will be along in a little bit as well to have the call of the game just over an hour from now. Christopher Walken and Will Ferrell have today's final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word.
On Carmen and Yurko.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, baby, just say it.
I'm staring here, staring at rock legend Bruce Dickinson.
I'm a cock and a walk, baby.
And if Bruce Dickinson wants more cowbell, we should probably give him more cowbell.
Say, baby.
And Bobby, you are right. I am being selfish. But the last time I checked, we don't have a whole lot of songs that feature the cowbell.
I gotta have more cowbell, baby.
And I'd be doing myself a disservice and every member of this band if I didn't perform the hell out of this.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.